Happy Sabbath to you all. Happy Sabbath for those who are in Gateway Lighthouse, Gateway City, Gateway East, and Gateway West. I'm glad that you could join us. Happy Sabbath also to those of you watching all over different places around the world, whether in Australia or outside Australia. Happy Sabbath to you too. Today, I would like to continue the series on hope and courage for the last days. We had three messages in the last 3 weeks, and today we're going to cover the fourth one, and we have another 5 weeks after this. So today I'll be sharing on how to have hope and courage in strange times. Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you today to thank you for the Sabbath day. Dear Lord, we pray that you may prepare our hearts to receive your word. We pray that you put your words in my mouth, that you may hide me behind your cross, that throughout these messages, each one of us may see Jesus, each one of us may be filled with the Holy Spirit, and each one of us may have greater hope for your soon coming. Draw us closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The economic crises are happening more frequently. From 17th century to the 21st century, they're happening more and more. Even the 20th century, we had 20 events of economic crisis. And 21st century, we have 10 already. And if we continue at this rate, 21st century will be even more than any other century. In March 2020, the share markets around the globe experienced significant drop due to the coronavirus impact. Billions of dollars wiped out from the share market. The economic impact was felt in many households. Many lost their jobs. Many in Australia were on JobKeeper or JobSeeker arrangement. And many were not eligible for any government support. Staggering number of Aussies at risk living from pay to pay. In fact, many were living from pay to pay even before the coronavirus crisis. Share market, however, seems to have recovered from the COVID impact. It seems to have the V-shape, so-called V-shaped recovery in recent times, led mainly by the big tech five stocks in America, that is Amazon, Apple, Alphabet or Google, Facebook, and Microsoft. The richest Americans have seen their incomes soar even more so over time. If you look at the graph on your right-hand side, you can see the richest Americans continue to increase their income. However, the average income growth is behind the GDP. What does that mean? That means the wealth distributions between the rich and poor continue to widen. The rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer. It's interesting, in recent times, one of my children said to me like this, talking about wealth and about billionaires. Not sure why this came to their mind. Out of the blue, one of my children said to me, "You know, Papa, when I grow up, I don't want to be a billionaire." And then it was continued like this, "I'm glad you're not a billionaire." I thought, that's kind of odd. Why did you say that? Because if we are building a family, I will not know who my true friends are. I will not know who our friends are truly actually wanting to be friends with us, not just of our money. That's quite an interesting observation from someone who's very young. Continue on. Last month, in September 2020, the world was declared to be in recession. COVID-19 recession touches all five continents as recovery looks distant. In BBC News, Australia in first recession for nearly 30 years. Continue with the news headline within the last 2 weeks. The pandemic is driving millions of America's working poor to the edge. How can this be? Share market recovered with V-shaped, but many working people are still struggling. Small portion of the population seem to get richer, but many others are being pushed to the edge. Share market is about people's expectations of the future and does not represent the current state of the economy. I want to explain to you about the graph. In my work, I do a lot of with graphs, so I want to share this with you. If you look at these graphs, the bar graphs represent the interest rates. The blue represents the US, the orange represents Australian interest rates. The line graphs represent the unemployment rates. The government generally uses interest rates to influence the unemployment rates. So lowering interest rates will drive people to borrow more money so that they can spend more and can stimulate the economy. And this will help to lower the unemployment rates. So lower interest rates expects lower unemployment rates. Hopefully you're all following me. Higher interest rates could result in higher unemployment rates. However, during this pandemic, if you look at the last three, the box in the red there, the interest rates are almost at all-time low. But look at the unemployment rates. Unemployment rates kept on increasing. The interest rates and unemployment rates seem to diverge. The low interest rates did not seem to be able to stop the increase in the unemployment rates. Friends, indeed, looking at the share market, looking at the economy, the interest rates, unemployment rates, we are living in a very strange and difficult times. The Bible predicted this economic crisis. If you can turn to James chapter 5, verse 1 to 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You also be patient." And this is the counsel. "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Friends, the Bible predicted this economic crisis. The Bible predicted the impact, the financial impact in the last days. I'd like to share with you some principles how to have hope and courage in these strange times. But first, I want to share with you, I want to remind us of who we are. It is important to know who we are so we can share what we should do in these times. Let's turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26 to 27. The Bible says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Friends, I'd like to remind you that we are the sons and daughters of God. We are the children of God. When we are baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. It is such a privilege to be called the sons and daughters of God. Talking about baptism, friends, some of you are thinking about baptism. Some of you have grown up in church knowing the truth, but somehow there's some hesitancy of making that decision to give your lives to God. Some of you may have questions. Continue to study the Bible. Some of you may have drifted away in these times. Some of you may have doubts. But friends, what a privilege when we are baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. We are called the sons and daughters of God. You and me are sons or daughters of God. Do we know what it means to be sons and daughters of God? In Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." In Psalms 50, verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." Our Father in heaven owns everything. He knows your needs. He knows my needs. He knows your struggles. He also knows my struggles. He wants to give the best for you and me. That's what it means to be sons and daughters of God. I remember the time in during the Asian crisis. The Asian currency were devalued. I remembered one Australian dollars was around 1,500 rupiah. I came from Indonesia, so it was 1,500 rupiah. During that crisis, one Australian dollars was 10,000 rupiah. It stays until today. It was devalued more than six times. And my parents gave me the privilege to study in Australia. They were worried whether I could start and finish my studies. Every time they had money, they decided to buy Australian dollars and sent the money to me. Until a point, my parents only had $300 in their savings. I certainly was not able to fully comprehend the love of my father, my parents, until I became a father myself. We wanted to give all and the best for our children. Friends, we are the sons or daughters of God who owns the universe. I want you to remember that. In these strange times, Let us remember, we are the sons and daughters of God. And the next verse, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and chapter 2, verse 15. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Who we are? Number two is we are the stewards of God. The Lord took the man and put the man in the Garden of Eden to look after the Garden of Eden. Who owned the Garden of Eden? God owned the Garden of Eden. But God asked Adam and Eve to look after the Garden of Eden, to have dominion. Look up the dictionary, what a steward means. A steward is the one who manages another person's property, finances, or other affairs. And this is who we are. We are stewards under God. But we do not own the world or anything in it. God, as the creator, owns it all. I'm not sure about you. I haven't tried much, but I've seen about valet parking. Have you used valet parking before? You drop off the car, and the guy will park the car for you. Did the guy actually own the car? Regardless, was a nice car or was a cheaper car, regardless what car it was, he only drove and parked the car. And then he would return the car to the owner at the end of the day. Friends, to a degree, we are like the valet parking driver. The car that was given to us belonged to God. So God placed all the belongings here for us to be good stewards. So number two is that we are the stewards of God. Number three, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who are we? Number three is we are the special people of God. We are God's special people for the special times. You may call it strange time, but this is a special time. We are God's special people to preach a movement, to preach the three angels' message and prepare for the soon coming of Christ. Friends, you and me have a mission. God has a special mission for us. So we are the sons and daughters of God. We are the stewards of God, and we are the special people of God. Let us remember those three. The three S's. We have a few S's today. Who we are, we have three S's. Sons and daughters of God, stewards of God, and special people of God. There are three principles I would like to share with you today on how to have hope and courage in these strange times, such as this financial crisis. There are three more S's in the principles. The first one is submit to God. So the first one is submit to God. What does that mean? What does it mean, submitting to God? Let's learn this from the Bible. Let's turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 12 to 16. It's rather long, but I want you to read and understand through the stories, not just reading this through. So she said, so this is a time when Elijah was experiencing famine, 3.5 years of famine, and God looked after him. And God asked Elijah to go to widow of Zarephath. And when he got there, and when he met her, this is what she said. So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Have you experienced that before? A couple of sticks, a handful of flour, a bit of oil, and you try to make something and that's it? That's all you have? Praise the Lord, I think many of us may have been blessed more than that situation. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now, what do you think? Is this the time of financial crisis? They're getting ready for their last meal, and they're getting ready to die after the last meal. And she just gathered two sticks. She didn't gather logs of wood. And Elijah asked for the last piece of bread. He didn't ask, "Can you make bread and share with me?" He just asked, "Make the bread for me first." Does that make sense? That does not make economic sense whatsoever. You may think, who does this guy Elijah think he is? He's asking the poor widow her literally last meal, potentially last meal of her life. But how did she respond? She responded according to Elijah's instruction. So what was the economic secret here to her survival? It's priorities. Priorities. She submitted to God first. She gave all that she had to Elijah, following the instructions of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these other things, will be added to you." Friends, the widow of Zarephath listened to Elijah. Yes, she did. She did listen to Elijah. And she was overflown with blessings. The flour and the oil continued to supply her needs for many days, until the rain came. Why? Because she put God first. Friends, are you facing crisis in your life? Are you facing financial crisis in your life? Some of us may be experiencing relationship crisis, or perhaps family crisis in our lives, perhaps spiritual crisis, or perhaps health crisis. in times of isolation, it could be a social crisis to some of us. Let us submit this to the Lord. Let us submit our crisis to the Lord, and He will take care of us. As the widow of Zarephath submitted everything that she had to the Lord. In submitting to God and putting God first, indeed, it starts from the heart. I'd like to share with you in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 8 and 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Friends, have we robbed God before? As I may have shared with you in the past, I believe tithe is a reflection of our faithfulness. Our faithfulness to God and offerings is a reflection of our love to God. Both are a reflection of what is in our hearts. Friends, as Jesus is coming soon, where is our heart at? Is our heart with the Lord? Do we have doubts in God? Have we put God first in our lives? Have we given God our first fruits? I would also like to draw the promises that God had. He promised that He will open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And God will keep His promise. Friends, this is my prayer, that our hearts are with God. Some of us may have struggled financially. Some of us have got struggle in our spiritual walk with God. Friends, we are living in strange times. Time of the glorious day is getting nearer than we think. It is my prayer that our hearts, we give our hearts to God. We may return to God, because God is waiting for us. Tithe, I want to go through by the practical sense. I believe we did have a short video about God first, the use of tithe. Tithe is a tenth of our earnings. They are submitted to our church, to the conference, the Victorian Conference, who then provide the salaries and wages to our pastors and the ministers and for the missions in the conference, as well as the Australia, as well as the global. But I want to touch on the offerings. Offerings are used for different purposes. It can be for local church budget, for ADRA, for education, so for perhaps church buildings, or perhaps for evangelism. Some of you may be asking questions. Now that we are online, do we have any expenses at church? Yes, we do. That's a short answer. We still need to pay for rent on our COI buildings in Clayton, as well as in Pelham Street in Carlton. We also still need to purchase equipment to support video recording. We're blessed with Henry's ministry, with the camera, the lighting, the microphones, hardware, the computer, the software, software licenses, and a few other things, as we also try to follow up with some of the Bible study interests, perhaps with gifts or postages, and a few other online ministry needs. The needs are different, but they are still expensive from local church budget perspective. Also want to share blessings, and there are many blessings with online church and we explore initiatives, many people are turning to this, to the ministries, more than what we could have reached when we did that offline. There's no online platform. In online church, just last week, we had the topic of what is mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Of there were 115 respondents that were interested, and within less than a week, we had more than 550 views of this video. What is the mark of the beast? I also believe that we had many. We had more than 50 people joining Beat the Lockdown Blues. Many joined the cooking class that organized what we explore. So friends, offerings are used to support these IRS of ministry in the times of lockdown, in the times of online. I would like to share the story. Hot cross bun is one of my children's favorite food, especially when they were younger. And one of my children really liked hot cross bun. Even when we went to the supermarket and this child saw the brochure on the supermarket brochures on hot cross bun, this child just wanted to eat the hot cross bun, and I had to stop this child from eating it. This child, I try to refrain from using he or she because you will be guessing on who the person is. But this child, I asked this child, I'm going to use they. I asked them to share with me. Can you please share with me? Sure, I can share with you. And this child did this. There you go. Oh, thank you for sharing. And the next word was, this child said, are you full? Of course, I was not full yet. I couldn't even taste the hot cross bun, right? It was like this, literally. Friends, sometimes we are like this to God. We have this hot cross bun. We like it so much. But it comes down to supporting the ministry. We thought God was too small. God needed our money. We did this to God. There you go, God. Is that enough? At the back of my mind, I thought, this child did not know I could buy 12 hot cross buns. I could buy this child 18 hot cross buns. Praise the Lord for the money that God entrusted to me to buy 18 hot cross buns. And one bag is $3. So I have $9 I could buy this child. But this child did not realize that. Did not think of that. Friends, it could be why God asks us to learn from a child. Sometimes we are like this child. That we gave out of abundance and we only gave little, thinking that God cannot do big things in our lives. I want to share one of my favorite Bible verses in Philippians 4, verse 19. This is the verse that strengthened me when I had challenges in my life. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Friends, pandemic has not changed God's promises, nor his ability to solve our problems and to bless us. One of my favorite subjects, in fact, my favorite subject in primary school and high school was actually maths. Some of you may know this. So because I like maths, I need to share my liking in maths in a formula with you. So for those of you who do not like maths, please learn to like this, at least this formula. This is the formula. High school should be able to pick this up, but the inequality. Income, less of tithe and offerings, plus God's blessings, is greater than is better than our income, less God's blessings, without tithe and offerings. Did you get that? By providing tithe and offerings, returning tithe and offerings, we receive God's blessings, which will be better than us not returning tithe and offerings. If you are math students, we can move the variables around from the left side to the right-hand side, right? I'm going to move one to the left-hand side. Let's check this out. We're going to move God's blessings to the left-hand side. Income minus tithe and offerings plus double blessings is greater than our income. So if you want to receive God's double blessings from God, it's very easy. We just need to be faithful and love God. It all starts from the heart. Faithfulness and our love to God. Principle number two. So principle number one is to submit to God. Principle number two is to simplify our lives. As shared by Elder Johnny a few weeks ago, he shared, in the first part of the series, he shared simplify, simplify, and simplify. So I'm just adding another, so reiterating that, to simplify our lives. And it does require, it will require, self-denial in many ways. Debts continue to increase. This slide shows the left-hand side is the graph of government debts, global debts. And the right-hand side is the household debts by country. I know it's a little bit complex, but I'm going to call out the message in these graphs. So government debts, global debts, almost reached $260 trillion. Trillion means there are 12 zeros. And it's three times the GDP. And the household debt to income ratios. Australian household debt to income is at a new all-time high. It is 1.5 times. So our debt in Australia is 150% of our income. All these debts were supposed to boost the economy. But it has impacted mainly the share market. The debt has increased. Share market has increased, but the economy seems to struggle. Unemployment rate is still increasing. And people, households are still living from pay to pay. You see the impacts of debts, how it has diverged or increased the gap between the rich and the poor. In 2 Kings, in the Bible, there is another economic crisis. In 2 Kings chapter 4, the Bible says, this time is a story of Elisha with this woman. A certain woman cried out to Elisha saying, "My husband is dead, and you know that. He feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few." Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, and she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Friends, she had a crisis. She was in slavery, or slavery of debt. They were going to take her sons. And she brought the problem to Elisha. That's like I'll bringing the problems to Jesus. As a matter of fact, Elisha's name is very much like the name of Jesus. Friends, if you have problems, let's bring them to Jesus. But going back to the debts, we need to stop all these buying practices. We need to stop this materialistic mind. If it means to cut out our credit card because we can't manage it, we should do that. We should not be signing up on buy now, pay later scheme if we are not able to manage this. Men, be careful with debt. But taking too much debt, because it could impact your family. Just like the husband of this woman. What if something happens to you? You can end up leaving the spouse and the family with a lot of debt. In Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the leader. The borrower is a servant to the lender, sorry. Apart from buying a house, avoid any kinds of debt. If you do have debts, make every effort to pay that down. Make your priority to get over that debt, because it is a burden. As part of simplifying our lives, there's a sub-S called slash your debt. The next verse in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. The story told by Haggai could resonate with people today. We earn wages, we put the wages into a bag with a hole, or with holes. Friends, as people of God, we have special missions. God has special purpose for us. Let us not get caught into the materialistic world. So perhaps it is God's plan, or it is God's way to allow an economic crisis to wake his people up. The time is near. It's time to simplify. On the contrary, if we recall the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream about the 7 years of prosperity, followed by 7 years of famine. This is what God told Joseph to tell Pharaoh. In Genesis 41, verse 34, it says this: let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. They sacrificed during the time of plentiful to save themselves from future crisis. Joseph instructed the Egyptians to save some of their produce from the land every single year. They took that task for the 7 years and setting grain aside in the storage bins. And he was not taking any chances. He never stopped collecting grain. In fact, the Bible tells us Joseph took a lot of grains that they couldn't count anymore and stopped keeping the records. In Genesis 41, verse 49, Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting for it was immeasurable. They had more than enough to meet the needs of the people during the time of famine. Joseph's story can be our model today. What is the proportion that Joseph saved? It was 1/5. Joseph saved 20% of the harvest. Perhaps we ought to save for the future. We need to simplify our lives, to slash our debt, to save for the future. We can target 20% of our earnings that we can save. We can save for the mission. We can save for our family's simple needs. Friends, the third principles, how to have hope and courage in strange times, is to share your blessings. To share your blessings. In John chapter 3, the famous Bible verse that many of us memorize, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The whole gospel revolves around giving. God so loved the world that he gave the best for the world. He gave the best for you and for me. When we love, we give. God loves us and he gave everything. He gave everything so that he can be with you and me in heaven. And the other thing is that we are naturally, as I shared with you about the hot cross bun story, we are naturally stingy. Look at the little children. Most parents will teach their children to share because they are naturally stingy. I have never seen parents to say, don't share, don't share. What I've seen everywhere is that little children, okay, can you please share, share, share your toys, share your food. It may not be food, but share your toys, share your other, perhaps paper and pens. Sometimes we can be like that too. Sometimes we can be more generous. We can be stingy in sharing the blessings. God's character is generous. God gave the best. God gave everything through Jesus Christ that he can be with you and me. Friends, let us learn from the character of God. In these times of crisis, it may not make sense economically, but whatever God has blessed us, let us share them to bless others, because that is God's character. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, the Bible says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Some of us may have received more during this time of pandemic. Praise God for that. Remember to share those blessings cheerfully. And that's how we become channels of blessings. As we receive, we give. As we receive, we share. And share with cheerful hearts. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Friends, if God bless you with little things, let us be faithful with those little things. If God bless you with abundant things, let us be even more faithful with the abundant things. How can we have hope in a strange time like this, when our lives seem to be cracking? How can we have hope to see like these little flowers. The current and future economic crisis is one of the signs that Jesus is coming soon. Could this strange time be a time that God allowed crisis to happen in each of our lives, in our family lives, so that we can be on our knees more and seek God like never before? Could it be a time that God reminded us to submit and to put Him first in our lives? Could it be a time that God reminded us to return to Him? Could it be a time that God reminded us to repent and be baptized? Friends, could it be a time God reminded us to become channel of blessings, to be like Him, that we can prepare our families, to prepare our friends, prepare ourselves, prepare our neighbors for that glorious day, because Jesus is coming soon. Friends, let us submit our lives to God. Let us simplify our lives. And let us share the blessings. Let's look forward, now more than before, more than ever, to see Jesus return and bring us home. I want to close with this Bible verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, let us look unto Jesus, who gave everything, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us remain faithful. Let us return to God. Let us give our hearts to the Lord in these strange times. Some of you may be wrestling with God in your life. Some of you may have struggled in your life. As a church, we want to be a praying church. How can we pray for you today? Perhaps you can send a message to us wherever you are. For those of you in WhatsApp group or who has contacts to our pastors and elders, send us a message that we can pray, how we can pray for you. You can send a private message via Zoom. You can send message on Facebook. You can send message on YouTube. Friends, we want to pray for you. In this time of our trouble, in these strange times, we're praying. We want to have hope and courage. We want to be faithful because Jesus is coming soon. Please let us know if you would like us to pray for you. And we will continue to pray for the church needs. It is my prayer that we are all excited for that glorious day. But first, let's give our hearts to the Lord. May God bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder for us to submit to you, to simplify our lives, and also to share our blessings. Lord, it is our desire. Thank you for the reminder that we are such a special people. We are your sons or daughters. We are your stewards and we are your special people. Father, in these strange times, we pray for hope and courage that comes from heaven alone. Help us to be more faithful in our Bible studies. Help us to be more faithful in our prayer life with you, and help us to be more faithful in blessing and encouraging each other. Dear Lord, may you be with those who perhaps have struggles in their lives. In their lives, in their hearts, in their walk with you. Lord, stay close to them. May you grant your peace that surpasses all understanding. May you continue to knock on the hearts for those who are at the edge of decisions to give their lives to you. And Father, may you keep us faithful until you come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.